Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman if you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public. Go to rmfp.com. Dinner time right now. What you doing? Got a suggestion. You need to go to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. They smoke their meats for hours, talking about the ribs, the brisket, the chicken wings, the meatloaf, the corned beef for the Reuben. They have outstanding sides as well, and really good stuff on the menu that is non-barbecue related. The owner, Dave, he had a past life, and he was a really good chef back then, and he brought it all to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. So go there on us. $20 in your pocket. Give us a call, 303-831-1340, 303-831-1340. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
ESPN's Jeremy Fowler surveyed more than 50 NFL executives, coaches, and players to rank the best players at various positions. Most recent ranking, interior defensive line. And the Broncos don't have a player there. I'm not completely surprised that Shelby Harris is not there when you look at how people view the Broncos and maybe even Shelby Harris. But do you think he should have been on this list?
I'm not sure he should have been in the top 10, but I think I was surprised that there wasn't room for him in the honorable mention, which went nine deep. So effectively, this was, you could say, the top 19, and you know, one more would have been top 20 interior defensive lineman. I think Shelby Harris, probably not top 10, but I would put him in somewhere between 15 and 20 league-wide.
Here's my thing about Shelby Harris. I think a lot of the guys who are on this list, you know, Aaron Donald's on top of the list, right? A lot of these guys put up big numbers, right? Shelby Harris, to me, is not a big numbers guy. I compare Shelby Harris to when Shaquille Barrett was here. You would never look at Shaquille Barrett's box score and say, wow. But if you actually watch the game, you would see how he made a difference, how he impacted the game. He made game-changing type of plays. Let's look at Shelby Harris from last year. He only played in 11 games. 32 tackles, 20 solo tackles, 2.5 sacks, 7 passes defended. That's the number that sticks out. He doesn't put up big numbers, but it seems like he makes plays that don't show up on the stat sheet. As an example, he chased down who? Patrick Mahomes? Is that right?
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. Chased down Tyreek. You're not going to see that in a box score, right? So when he bats down a pass, I'm sorry, that's not the same as a sack. People would much rather have a sack or a pressure. But at the end of the day, while a sack loses yards, a batted down pass still kills the play anyway.
It does. And that's why Bill Kolar, Broncos D-line coach, in his calculations regards sacks and passes defensive the line of scrimmage as equal. The other thing working against Shelby Harris, I think, in terms of being taken seriously among the better defensive linemen, at least in terms of the perception league-wide, unfortunately for him, it's how he came into the league, which was late draft pick, later round, day three, and a guy who got cut a couple of times before he found his home in Denver. Because there are a couple of guys in the top 10 of this list who don't really qualify as outstanding pass rushers. Like, for example, number 6 on this list, Jeffrey Simmons of the Tennessee Titans. He's a third-year guy. He's never had more than 3 sacks in a season. Number 9 on this list is Vita Vea of Tampa Bay. Probably the first thing people think of with Vita Vea is his size, not his sacks, because this is somebody who weighs 347 pounds. But what do both Simmons and Vea have in common? They're first rounders. I mean, it's like every other position, really. But fair or not, you are judged in light of what your draft pick was coming into the league. The initial perception of Shelby Harris was late round draft pick who didn't stick. And even though we know he's a better player than that, the perception of him has not caught up to the reality of what he is as a player. He's still regarded, I think, outside of Denver as kind of a novelty or a fluke coming from the nether regions of the draft process.
Justin Adams of CBS4 was on the show yesterday as you were taking care of your family during the tropical storm down there in Florida. And mm-hmm. one of the questions we had on the show was, I don't know if it was NFL Network or CBS Sports. They picked a bunch of players who were primed to have breakout seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you who I picked, and I'll tell you who he picked after you tell me who you would pick on the Broncos, who is primed to have a breakout season. Just tell me the guy, and then I'm going to tell you who we picked.
Jerry Jeudy.
Okay. He said Jerry Jeudy, and I disagreed. I said my guy's. I said Draymond Jones, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I said the reason why I would not pick Jerry Jeudy is he is very dependent on the quarterback, and I'm not overly confident in Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater. I think Lock can be better. I think that Bridgewater can be a nice option, but Jeudy is very dependent on those guys. Bring in Aaron Rodgers. There's no doubt in my mind I'd put Jerry Jeudy on that list. The reason I put Draymond Jones on that list is he is not dependent. And he has Von Miller back. And he has Bradley Chubb. And he has a really good secondary. And they're going to be able to get to the quarterback with that pass rush. And Draymond Jones is a talented guy. And the Broncos like him a lot. And how much do the Broncos like him? I think other teams like him, including the Green Bay Packers. And it would not surprise me if indeed there was a trade for Aaron Rodgers, the Packers might want Draymond Jones.
Yeah, and that's because interior pass rushers, and it's the skill set that put a lot of these guys in the top 10 of this list that we started with, they're not the easiest to find. And Draymond Jones appears to be on a trajectory where he could be a guy who gets about 8 or 9 sacks a year from the interior. He had 6 last year. He's already a productive interior rusher, even when you had a situation like last year where he was surrounded by a bunch of injuries on the defensive line, losing Shelby Harris for a month because of COVID, losing Mike Purcell for more than half the season because of an injury, and having to kind of basically be the focal point of a lot of teams' interior efforts in terms of rushing the passer. So there's a lot of reason to believe that Draymond Jones could be a breakthrough guy. The one thing I will say for Jerry Jeudy and why I chose him is that if Teddy Bridgewater wins the job, I don't think Bridgewater is the long-term answer, but I do think Bridgewater is going to do very well with Jerry Jeudy. I think watching the two of them
sure.
in the OTAs that we've seen, it looks like they have that chemistry, that connection, that Bridgewater seems quite capable of putting the ball where Jerry Jeudy wants it. So if Bridgewater is the starter, even though he may not and likely will not do enough to be the long-term answer, I think in the interim, we'll see Jerry Jeudy emerge as a star wide receiver. I mean, you had a couple of guys last year for Carolina that had pretty good seasons catching the ball. Robbie Anderson had 95 catches for just under 1,100 yards. DJ Moore had 66 catches, had nearly 18 yards reception, had nearly 1,200 yards. So Bridgewater, he's limited in terms of raw arm strength and talent, but I think he is enough of a quarterback to be able to drop in the kinds of timing throws that are going to take advantage of Jerry Jeudy's route running, and I think would cause him to be a breakout player this year.
By the way, we almost didn't have a quarterback competition. Don't know if people heard the news. Drew Lock was involved in a scary moment today. He was driving through Kansas, and a lug nut flew into his windshield. There are pictures of this on Twitter. And the only reason we know about this is the Kansas Highway Patrol Troop C Twitter feed put this out on Twitter. And there is a picture of Drew Locke with two state troopers and a picture of the lug nut literally in his windshield. Scary moment. I can't even imagine how dangerous and how I can't even imagine what that could have possibly been, worst case scenario.
I mean, you look at his windshield and that it's, I mean,
it's embedded.
It's
embedded in his windshield.
The windshield's gone. I mean, this isn't like a little crack that sometimes you get when a
You're not calling auto glass to come out to your house to patch it up with some glue.
Yeah, this thing, the windshield's a total loss. And I mean, it's shattered. And I mean, just very fortunate that Drew Locke is okay in this. I mean, that could have been disastrous. I mean, I saw that and it took my breath away.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, me too. All right. Coming up after the break, we have things to talk about. And would you like to know what they are, Mace?
Sure. Tell me.
NFL Network did a really interesting segment called Which Fan Base Deserves a Super Bowl Title the Most This Season? Four guys were asked. They gave a bunch of answers. They have the Broncos on the list. I mean, listen, the Broncos have a rich history, but it's been pretty bad over the last 5 years. Does our fan base deserve a Super Bowl title? We'll tell you what they said next. That you're here.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are looking for a smooth and refreshing cocktail, you need to check out Denver Distillery. They are off of Broadway in Denver, and they serve up award-winning spirits. They have not been around that long. They have been recognized nationally as a top five whiskey in the country. And again, they haven't been doing this long. They've also won awards for numerous other spirits, including sweet potato vodka, Colorado gin, straight four-grain bourbon, apple pie moonshine, bourbon barrel aged spice rum. You can find them in a lot of liquor stores. But if your liquor store doesn't have it, say, I need to get some Denver Distillery. We're talking about award-winning stuff here. And now they're getting to local restaurants as well. Denver Distillery. Again, find them off of Broadway in Denver or go to your local liquor store. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
NFL Network did an interesting segment called Which Fan Base Deserves a Super Bowl Title the Most This Season? The answers were the Packers, the Browns, the Bills, and the Lions. Let's start with this. Can you make a case for Broncos fans?
No. You absolutely can't.
We've had an embarrassment of riches.
It's been a bad 5 years.
Yeah.
But you also have three world championships in the last quarter century.
Right.
That, you know what? That's it. I mean, you've probably got to go through a bad decade here beyond the last 5 years before you're getting any empathy from people outside of Denver.
Okay, now, what fan base do you think deserves a Super Bowl title the most?
Ooh, because, you know what, there are compelling cases for most of these teams. There's not a compelling case for the Packers.
No.
Okay, because, again, two world championships in the last quarter century, four overall.
Right.
No, and you've had great quarterbacks for the last nearly 30 seasons. So, no, Packers don't have a case here. The Lions, okay, there's no expectation right now, as bad as they've been. There's not kind of the risk of a letdown.
Right.
So it comes down to Cleveland and Buffalo. And even though Cleveland hasn't been to a Super Bowl and Buffalo has, I've got to go with the Bills here.
Well,
because of the experience, the near misses, the disappointment of those four Super Bowls, and then being lousy for most of the time after that. Now, I mean, they after last year, they're in their window and they know it. They know this is their shot.
Well, listen, you know I'm going to lead towards the Bills because I covered the Bills. Yes. And I lived in Buffalo. And I love the city of Buffalo. I can understand Cleveland. They lost their team.
Yep.
And then the team they lost went to Baltimore and wound up winning a Super Bowl. I get where they are disappointed. But here's my case for Buffalo and more against Cleveland. For starters, Cleveland gets a bad rap nationwide. You know, a lot of comedians have Cleveland in their joke. But the truth is, Buffalo is as much of a Rust Belt state or Rust Belt city as Cleveland is. But Cleveland has won an NBA championship.
Right.
They also have the Cleveland Indians. In the city of Buffalo, the Sabres have never won a title. They've been to the Cup Finals twice. And the Bills have been to the Super Bowl four times and lost it 4 years in a row. My choice would always be Buffalo. Let's go with the other sports. We'll start with basketball. What city would you like to see win it the most for its fan base?
Well, you know what? One of the best candidates is right there in the finals right now, the Phoenix Suns. Even though I know
I'm not giving it to them.
Why? Because of the Suns and four guy?
No. No, no, I'm not. I'm giving it to the city of Utah.
Because, the city of Utah?
The state of Utah. Because they had the unfortunate disposition of facing Michael Jordan, just like the Suns did. But the Jazz were better than the Suns were with Charles Barkley. Not to mention what professional sports are played in Utah. That's a one-trick pony. That city's a one-trick pony when it comes to professional sports, where Phoenix has all of the major sports teams. And they have great weather all the time, except for the summer,
which
you walk outside and you might melt like the Wicked Witch of the West. So
it's a dry heat.
It's very dry.
You burst into flames when you step out on the sidewalk.
Right.
It's a dry heat.
Right. So I'm going to go. You can go with Phoenix. I'll go with Utah. Let's go with baseball. What city would you say you would like to see its fans win a title?
Cleveland.
I can see going with that.
Yeah. The Indians had, you know, they haven't won it in, I believe it's 1948 was the last time they won it. And they've had near misses. I mean, the thing about the 2016 World Series, for example, when the Cubs finally broke through, is that somebody's misery was going to end, but someone's was going to go to another level because they would have lost the World Series to a franchise that was at the same level in terms of heartache and decade-long misery.
Yeah.
So if the Cubs lose to the Indians, not only does the Cubs streak go on, but it happened against the Indians. And similarly for the Indians, not only does their streak extend, it's now at 73 years, but they also have the dubious distinction of having lost to the Cubs in the World right. Series. So, and the other thing, I mean, the Indians also, they lost in seven to the Marlins back in 1997. So it's not just that the Indians haven't won it in a long time,
yep,
but when they've gotten close, they've lost two game sevens in extra innings to lose World Series in that span. They get there and they go down in the most agonizing fashion you can possibly think of. So that's why, you've got teams like the Rangers. They've never won a World Series, and they're in their 50th season in the Metroplex. But I got to go with the Indians on this one in MLB right now. I think it's them.
I'd go with the Atlanta Braves because they always underachieve.
Yeah.
And their fans have had a lot of heartache. They always think they're going to win. They had that great trio of pitchers. They just can't get over the hump. I feel bad for Atlanta fans, although I don't, because they're not loyal. Because Atlanta's a transient city, and nobody really likes the Braves down there. They just go to see the other teams play. I'll go with Atlanta because I have pity for you.
Who are you taking about? But who are you talking about? They not being loyal.
Yeah, you're loyal. You're not even from. You're not even from there. No, I'd go with the Indians as well. How about hockey?
Mm.
To me, that's an easy one.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I kind of take a little bit of Schadenfreude in the Maple Leafs.
That's exactly who I was going to go with.
I feel bad for their fans. I don't feel bad for the franchise is incompetent.
Yeah.
They have made their own mistakes time and time and time again over the last half century. But okay, yeah, I do feel sympathy for their fans. The Canucks are another fan base as well that they've been around for over 50 years. They've never won a Stanley Cup. I'm going to go with Vancouver, a little bit of an off the radar pick there, but the Canucks.
Okay. Here's the interesting thing about the Maple Leafs. Do you know they are second only to the Montreal Canadiens for most Stanley Cup titles?
Yes.
How old am I? Do you remember how old I am?
You were born in 68. You're 53 this year.
So I have never seen the Toronto Maple Leafs win a title. I will be 53 this year. The last time they won was 1967. It's a major city. They love their hockey up there.
It's funny that you mention how they're second to the Canadiens because there was a little Twitter beef between the Lightning and Canadiens social media teams earlier this week.
Yep.
And the Canadiens were saying, okay, well, even if we lose, we've still got 25 Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
And then the Lightning's response was, yeah, the last one of those you won in our first season, the rest of your cups are old enough to qualify for Social Security.
Whoa, very nice. Coming up after the break, one of the greatest tennis players, if not arguably the greatest tennis player of all time, is out at Wimbledon. And his career, you can make the case, is slowly declining. We see this in sports. Some guys' careers fall off a table like a bowling ball. So why don't you set this up, Mace? Where do you want to go with this?
Yeah, let's talk about this and how we see it in tennis and individual sports like golf. But how often do we see it in a team sport where you have somebody who was the great, arguably the greatest, and they decline to kind of pretty good and still competitive, but try as they might, they can't reach that level at the end, almost kind of a graceful decline, but still a decline nonetheless. We'll get into that on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM, and milehighsports.com worldwide.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman, if you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public. Go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is creative real estate and solutions with the greatest impact. Go to impactcommercial.co.
Andrew, do me a favor. Set this up for us here.
All right. Well, Roger Federer, of course, been one of the greatest tennis players of all time. You could say probably at one point earlier in his career, the greatest of all time. That may have changed with Novak Djokovic over the last few years, but certainly in the top two or three all time in his sport. And today He fell in straight sets. Federer is 39 years old. He is now ranked 8th. So he's, even though his matches on ESPN when they're in majors are promoted with great fanfare, the ranking kind of says that the quarterfinals is almost where he should be bowing out, which is where he bowed out today. And so it got me kind of thinking about how in individual sports, we often see an athlete kind of have a gradual decline that where they go when they're in, when they're elite, their championship level, and then they're kind of pretty good for a while and kind of keep at it. Whereas in team sports, we often think of like a guy hitting the wall, like Peyton Manning, for example. Let's face it, he hit the wall after about late season of 2014 and then didn't have it in 2015. Dan Marino hit a wall at the end. So it kind of got me thinking, Eric, like, what are some kind of gradual declines that we've seen among kind of the best of the best, these elite athletes in team sports, not individual ones?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm going to respectfully disagree with Dan Marino. I don't think his career fell off the bowl, fell off a table like a bowling ball. I think he was a gradual decline. Just by looking at his numbers, 1994, 30 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. I'm going to go down the list. Mm-hmm. 24 and 15, 17 and 9, 16 and 11. Bumped up to 23 and 15, 12 right. and 17. That was his last year.
He was still a very effective quarterback, and then that last year kind of.
Right,
he kind of ran.
Played 11 games, but it was a gradual decline. But you can make the case 1999, his career fell off the table like a bowling ball. Peyton Manning, it did not happen that way. His final year and a half was not very good, but less than a year before, he arguably had the greatest season of his career. Late in his career. Yeah. But he was always great. So for Peyton Manning, he was unbelievable. Final year and a half, bang, it was over. For Dan Marino, I think it was far more gradual. Steve Young, he was gradual at the end. Jim Kelly, he was more gradual at the end until his final year. 1995 was his second to last year.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'll put it in perspective here. 1994. Okay, the year that I started covering him, completion percentage was 64%, which at that time wasn't bad. 22 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. 1995, year I covered him, his completion percentage dipped to 55%. 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. His final year, 58%, 2,800 yards, 14 touchdowns, 19 interceptions, quarterback rating of 73, and that was it.
Yeah, Kelly is a great example. I would actually disagree on Steve Young because his last full season with the 49ers in 98, Steve Young led the league in touchdown passes, led the league in yards per game.
Right.
He was the guy that didn't fall off the cliff. The cliff fell into him.
Well, yes.
Because he had the concussion in week 3 of 99 that ended his career.
But hold on. He only played 3 games in 1999.
Yeah.
But in those 3 games, 53% completion percentage, 5.3 yards per pass, 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, quarterback rating of 60. You could make the case even before that concussion, he was already on the decline.
Maybe it was happening, but you know, guys have bad months all the time.
Sure.
So that's why I don't think that was enough of a sample size for me.
I agree.
For a gradual decline. One guy who actually he's unsigned right now. But one guy who I think, like when I was thinking about this kind of gradual decline, but still kind of hanging in there, Larry Fitzgerald is a prime example. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, probably all time. He's maybe not Jerry Rice, but he's a top 5 all time wide receiver. And yet for basically now, like basically a decade, Fitz hasn't been a spectacular receiver. He's just been a steady possession receiver and played through his entire 30s being a guy that would basically have about 9, 10, 11 yards per catch. But there's an example. Like I think of Fitz an awful lot like Roger Federer, who to his credit has hung in there with as the elder statesman of what he does, and kind of had to remake his game, account for not being as quick, not being as fast, still been effective. But we'll find out if Fitz has one last chapter left, because he's still sitting there unsigned. Although it wouldn't surprise me at all, Eric, if we're talking about Fitz re-signing with the Cardinals right at the start of training camp, just because he didn't want to go through all the off-season stuff at his age.
How about Jerry Rice as a gradual decline?
That's a very good one.
2001, nearly 1,200 receiving yards. Or 2002. 2002, mm-hmm. 1,200 receiving yards, and he had 7 touchdowns. Next year, and these are 16 games. Next year, he went to 869 yards and 2 touchdown receptions. Final year, he played with 2 teams. Is that right?
Yep, Oakland and Seattle.
Oakland and Seattle, 429 yards and 3 touchdowns. That was a fast, gradual decline. Peyton Manning was a bang, it's over.
Although the interesting thing with Rice is that his numbers dipped in his last 2 years with San Francisco when they were struggling.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the Raiders in 01 when they're successful. John Gruden, Rich Gannon, they won 3 division titles in a row. And his numbers actually got a bump.
They did.
For a couple of years.
Right.
Which kind of goes back to something we discussed earlier about breakout players. It can be quarterback dependent. And he went from the 49ers with Jeff Garcia trying to figure things out to Rich Gannon, who at least in Oakland was a very effective, very efficient quarterback who got the most out of it.
There's something else to consider here as well. When you talk about Jeff Garcia, by the time Jeff Garcia became the established starter, Terrell Owens was the established wide receiver on that team. Over Jerry Rice. He was the man. When Terrell Owens blossomed, he instantly became the man, and Jerry Rice was the secondary guy in those final 2 years.
Yeah. Especially in 2000, Owens had nearly 1,500 yards. Jerry Rice had a very workmanlike 800 yards, 75 catch season.
He was relegated to number 2 behind Terrell Owens.
And then he goes to Oakland, and he became the number 1 again, and it gave him one last burst of success.
But if we're being fair, it's not like, you know, Terrell Owens taking away catches from Jerry Rice. Terrell Owens is a Hall of Famer.
Right.
It's not like he was some chump. All right. Yeah. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Shohei Ohtani doing something historic again. Also, we've got Stanley Cup Finals Game 5 this evening. We'll give that a little preview as well. That's coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports. Waiting on some beautiful boy to
save you from your old way. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. After the show, Mace, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. Would you like to know what I'm doing?
I'd love to know what you're doing.
Mandy and I are going to go look at a venue to finally get married.
Hey!
Yeah, what do you think of
that? Awesome.
Yeah. Well, we were supposed to be married like 4 weeks ago. We've been engaged for over a year and a half, but because of COVID, we couldn't do it. So we're looking at this drive-through called Good Times. And I think it should be, I think it'll be nice. It's going to be inexpensive, which is important. And they said that all of our guests could bring coupons if they wanted to.
Well, I mean, you hope that Good Times is a sort of indication of what's to come in your marriage. A lot of good times, I would hope.
Well, that's why I pressed her to do it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it rains, we'll just do a tent in the parking lot right over the drive-through.
That in itself would be good luck, too.
Yeah.
If it rains on your wedding day.
Yeah. All right. Time now for the segment we like to call the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Just In Case You Missed It is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just In Case You Missed It, Shohei Ohtani bursting into the record books again, this time becoming the highest home run hitting Japanese player in MLB history, and this is before the All-Star break. He's got 32 home runs on the year, and that is four more than the next closest player. Shohei Ohtani is going to be in the home run derby. Do you think that he'll win the home run derby, and do you think that he will lead the league in home runs at the end of the year?
Ooh, I mean, I don't think he'll win the home run derby. I think he, and it's just honestly because I think he's going to maybe even hold back a little bit because he's also got pitching responsibilities as well as hitting in terms of what he does on a day-to-day basis. I don't think he'll put as much in the home run derby as some other guys will. So I'm going to say he doesn't win the home run derby, but I would argue on the top of a soapbox, on top of a chair, on top of a podium, that he should be the AL MVP.
This is not hyperbole. What Shohei Ohtani has done is more impressive than Babe Ruth, because Babe Ruth was exclusively a pitcher, and he was one of the best of his era, and then exclusively a hitter, easily the best of his era. Ohtani is doing both. His ERA is 3.49, and he is 4-1 with 32 home runs. We have never seen anything like this in the history of baseball, and that includes Babe Ruth, because Babe Ruth did not do both at the same time.
Exactly. At the same time, being one of the most effective pitchers in the game and being one of the best hitters in the game. And this is, again, how, you know, people are going to debate the MVP. If he continues on this pace, how can Shohei Ohtani not be the American League MVP?
He's the greatest MVP in the history of the game.
Yeah.
They should just come. They should, you know what they should, as for as great as Jacob DeGrom has been, and he has been unbelievable, Ohtani's season is better, which is hard. It's hard letting that come out of my mouth. The National League should just donate their MVP to the American League and just make it one. Well, there's one MVP of baseball this year, and it is him.
And literally, DeGrom's season as a pitcher is on pace to be the most impressive that we've seen in at least 53 years.
Yes.
And so we are literally seeing two of the greatest individual season-long performances in the process of happening here in this season. Why aren't Shohei Ohtani and Jacob DeGrom bigger household names beyond baseball? That sounds like a segment for tomorrow.
Well, it's because I'll tell you, and I'll give you a tease on my end. Jacob DeGrom does play in New York, right? Major League Baseball does an awful job of promoting its players. And number two, Shohei Ohtani is not from the United States and doesn't speak very good English, so he's not very marketable. And that's how American companies would look at him.
It's a shame.
Just in case you missed it, the Tampa Bay Lightning are one win away from winning back-to-back Stanley Cup titles as they take on the Montreal Canadiens in Game 5 tonight from Florida. Mace, would you like to make a prediction? And then I have a question for you both. What sport is it hardest to win consecutive championships in? There's been several people to do it in great MLB, question. Several in the NFL. Ooh. Which sport is hardest to repeat?
All right, I'll say that I'm picking the Canadiens tonight. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that, Danny, because I couldn't make a pick on Monday because we didn't have the show. And of course, Montreal won. So I'm hoping that making the pick of Montreal helps my Lightning. But the toughest one to go back to back in. Wow. I mean, the thing is, we've seen it relatively recently in the NHL with the Penguins doing it back in 16 and 17. I think because of the length of the season and kind of the inherent randomness of the sport, even especially in the postseason, I think right now it's toughest to go back to back in Major League Baseball.
Isn't it interesting that you would say baseball, considering It's the only sport that doesn't have a salary cap, because you would think it would be just the opposite. And oh, yeah. By the way, congratulations, Tampa. I believe that tonight's attendance will surpass the season total for the Rays. In just tonight's game. They will get more people in that building than will actually physically go see the Rays all season.
As good as they are.
You know why? You know why? Because it's so damn hot in Florida. People want to be in a spot where there's ice on the ground so they can cool off.
Even though the Rays play in an air-conditioned dome, the problem is that it's an air-conditioned dome, but it's a horrible place to watch a baseball game, and it's also horribly located. One's in downtown Tampa, the center of the Bay Area. One is in downtown St. Pete, which if you draw, if you get out a map and draw a circle with a 25-mile radius, there's a heck of a lot of water.
That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed, we've had a lot of hail recently, so what are you going to do about it? I mean, a lot of roofing companies to call. My suggestion is call the roofing company that was recently voted Denver's best roofing company, and their customers love them. Over 85-star Google reviews. So if your home or you know somebody else's home has been damaged and their roof has been trashed, call Masterpiece Roofing. Get a free roof inspection and then see how Masterpiece is going to get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Their customers love them. The community loves them. And you'll love them too. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Anilo, thanks for punching all the right buttons on MileHighSports.com. Danny, fantastic job as well. Go enjoy your vacation for the next 22 hours, Mason. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Make it the best possible night you can.